Last week we were learning a piece from Rav Kook, so it's Halakha of Shavuot at the end, on the definition of Chayrus, of what it means to be a Ben Chayrin. The sugi that we're in our perek in Aris HaTorah is Emuna Ba'atzmacha, believing in oneself. And what that means according to the Torah, not the way that it's used in the secular world, to believe in oneself. For a person to be faithful to the atzmius apnimis of who he is. It's a big madrega of amuna. Therefore, if Cook says that you have sometimes a person that he's free, he can do whatever he wants, he can go wherever he wants, but he's an eved, mamish an eved in Mitzrayim. And you have another person that is chas v'shalom, he's an eved, he's enslaved. But since he's living in that place of amuna, of ne'monis, to that atzmius hapnimis, to the essence of who he is, he's a ben chayrin. Even though he's behind bars, or chalila, he's in some terrible situation, where others are telling him what to do and forcing him, but he be'etzim is a ben chayrin. So I wanted to take that a step further, to go a little bit to explain that. One of the simanim that we're getting closer to Mashiach is the hisgalus of a very big mashpi of Torah in Eretz Yisrael, whose Torah was apparently kept sort of bottled up from the tzibur for many, many years. A Jew, a tzaddik by the name of Rav Chaim Cohen, is called the Chalban, the Milchagir, the milkman. That we've learned some of his Torahs in the past. And one of the simon of Mashiach is the hisgalus of a person such as this, who's not afraid to teach Rav Kook's Torah, together with the Torah of all the tzaddikim. And a lot of what he's teaching is a perish, very clear perish of what Rav Kook is saying. So, after bringing this piece in the Sefer Vayikra in the Tal Leichaim, the name of the Svarim Tal Leichaim. So in the Tal Leichaim on Vayikra, he brings in the Maimra on Matzah, I saw afterwards that he brings the piece from Rav Kook that we did last week, this Indian of Chayrus as an expression of the ne'monus, the faithfulness, the one's atzmius apnimis. He brings that piece that we learned last week, and then he continues on a little bit after that piece. So on page Reish Lama Dalet, where it says, Misha chodur be'amuna enashayach l'shibud. You see that? So this is, for those who were here last week, this will be a hamshech, and for those who weren't, I hope it could be understood, even though it's in the middle of an inyan, but I hope that it could be understood. Nimsa, she'odam bal emunah chazaka, a person with strong emunah. Odam bal emunah chazaka, lo'ilam lo'yuchal li'ez ba'avdus. What Rav Kook, he's explaining Rav Kook, what Rav Kook is teaching us, in his parish on the Siddur, that is in the Haggadah, is that a person who's a Baal Emunah Chazaka, somebody of strong and deep faith, lo'olam lo yuchal li'ez ba'avdus, can never be an Eved. He's be'etzem mufka, he's be'etzem not in the sugya of being a slave. A person who's a Baal Emunah Chazaka, of strong faith. There are many, many, many stories. Not just of Gedolei Olam, but even of people who we look at and we think that they're pshutim. Sometimes even ourselves. Emunah hi habrius shel haneshama. Emunah is when the neshama is functioning in this world. The neshama is always fine. Habrius shel haneshama is when the neshama and the guf, in that connection of the neshama and the guf, there's a state of health. When we're healthy, then the emunah is something which is felt in a very strong way. It radiates from the etzem of who the person is, and such a person who is healthy cannot be enslaved. No matter what you do to him, he can't be enslaved. Emunah hi tatsumayis haruach v'halev. Emunah is the strength of ruach and lev. Emunah hi makor hacheiris v'hadror. Emunah is the source of cheiris and dror. That's what Rav Kook is telling us. Where a person is, the family into which he was born, and all other external circumstances of one's life can obviously cause a tremendous amount of challenges and difficulties. But when a person has emunah chazaka, emunah is the makar hacheus. That is the source of cheus. Not whether you can get in and out of some place. Not whether you could travel from one place to another. Not whether you can choose your own career, you choose your own spouse. Emunah hi makar hacheus v'hadror. Emunah is the makar of freedom, of cheus and dror. Emunah hi avir tahor l'nishmas elokim shebekirbeinu. Emunah is the pure air, the oxygen of the nishmas elokim inside of us. Just like the body needs to eat, the neshama breathes emunah. G'shiyesh ba'adam emunah, hu mechusan mikol shibud. If a person has emunah, then he is protected. He has been injected with something that will offset or prevent any shibud. Shekein nishmosei chazokei ve'esona. Since the neshama is functioning in his life in a strong and powerful way, yeshevus b'seisi alyon u'misleinenes bekel itzel shakai. Of course, the neshama, that's the pasuk, the neshama is sitting in that place. But the neshama is breathing and is well and alive in that person's existence. Yodei Hagdoli is Baruch Shemai Prusal HaNeshama Melea Samuna. Hashem's great hand is Prusa Al HaNeshama Melea Samuna V'chasusa Memalas Oysa Oiz V'satsumais. Hashem's hand is holding on to this neshama that's filled with emunah. And as a result of that, he's filled with courage and with strength. And Mamela, Gam im haguf meshubed l'adayin. Therefore, in the life of this person, even though he might be meshubed, he might be enslaved to somebody, or he might have to work for somebody. Hine gardel haruach v'cherusa yigbru ma'ayid. But the gardel haruach, the greatness of spirit and the cherus and the true cheirus is yigbru ma'oy, they're very, very strong. V'yamidu is adam k'ben chayrin, and they establish a person as a ben chayrin. That's why we don't have to only think of slavery as it was in ancient times, and what it meant to be a slave, or even in our times, what it was like for Jews to be in places where that we weren't free, that our parents and grandparents were in such situations. Any time that a person is meshubat to somebody else, it means that the light of emunah has become dim inside of him. And the shibudim, as we learned many, many times, the shibudim don't have to be with barbed wire. You have somebody that you could have a person that you hear that somebody says something that's not nice about you. It happens. That person said something nice. That's an aveira. But the person said something nice, not nice about you, and you could become altogether destroyed, depressed. You can't come to yourself. The whole day you're thinking, how could he have said? How could he have done that? How could he? And besides that, you never even think that maybe it's true. Talk about what he said. But okay, let's leave that aside. But how could he have said such a thing? Or I thought he was my friend. Or I thought that's not a shibud. That person lives his whole life. Wherever he walks, he's got barbed wire around his head. He can't get out of such a thought. When anybody says about him, he becomes right away Eis mensch. Somebody says something about me. He can't deal with it. You have a child that will. I've had conversations with parents where you have a 9-year-old kid, a 10-year-old kid will tell the mother, "I hate you, mommy," and the mother goes like that. She needs to get therapy from the 10-year-old kid. Now you're saying, "I hate you, mommy. My child hates me. Ooh, I failed. My whole life is a failure." So, is there anything as pathetic as that? That you have, you could have a 30-year-old woman, a 35-year-old woman that sees meshubat to some little pisha, some little 9-year-old kid is making her sabrach. Says the kid says, "I hate you, mommy." It's a shibud. These are shibudim. I have all kinds of shibudim. That was. It's not just that a person has to be by an odin, by some kind of an owner, or a person is meshubed when you're with other people. When you're with other people, we were learning about this a little bit yesterday in the shiur, that when you're with other people, and even though those people are talking in a way or acting in a way that's not becoming, and you be'emes inside of that part of yourself that's called atzmis apnimis, you don't like what they're doing. You don't like what they're doing. You don't like to talk this way, but you're part of that. You're part of that group, and the group is sitting and schmoozing, whatever, hanging out together, and you start to just blend into that other world. That's not a shibud. That's a shibud. That's slavery. What happened to the nemanis? What happened to being faithful to the atzmis apnimis of who you are? These people are not talking the way that you believe people should talk. They're not acting the way that you should act. And yet you find yourself copying and imitating and going along with it because you want people to be pleased with you. You want to fit in. There's a very strong need to fit in. All these are shibudim. I mean, everybody knows there's no chidushim here, but these are all shibudim. But a person who has gadol haruach v'cherusa yigbu ma'oid, where a person's a ben chayrin, really, a free person, we're strong, that ruach and cheirus is strong. They establish a person as a ben chayrin, to be a free person. We have to daven for this all the time, but especially this time of the year. That's he's explaining what we learned last week. And whatever the adam is, whoever the master is, it could be a person, it could be a concept, it could be an idea. Can't touch, it doesn't reach. Whatever that Meshabit is, it doesn't reach that Cheirus HaRuach Shabbai. So you know what, even if you find yourself going along with some crowd, but at least you could stop and say in your head, you can get to a place inside of your head to say that this is crazy. I'm not happy with what I'm doing. That's also an expression of Cheirus. It also means that you're not altogether an Eved. If at least you could stop for a second and say, this is crazy. I was at a Simcha this week, and when the Chasna Kala were about to come in, they start to play that jungle music, you know what I mean? I don't know what's going on. And it was like they go for like 10 minutes for the Chasna Kala to come in. It was such a thing. But in the Navi it says that when it comes time for the Shekhinah, then it's called the Mamadaka. But, okay, I guess they didn't get to that. But the jungle, that sound of the jungle, and the guy that was the leader of the band was already making Mishunadika Tnuas, like he was making Mishunadika things. He was like bopping up and down, and he had strange-looking guys in the band that were making Mishunadika Tnuas. And he had lights, different colors were flashing. So I felt it was very important. It didn't make a difference. There was a Jew next to me. I didn't care who he was. I just looked at him and I said, I didn't know. I never met him. I said, Shalom Aleichem. He said, Aleichem Shalom. I said, what's your name? His name is Aleichem Shalom. We have to just remember, this is crazy. What are we doing? What is this? We're the Jewish, we're the Simcha, it's the Chasna Kala, it's the Shechina, it's Kutshibri Choshchimtei. What is this? Where are we? Just at least a little bit to be a little bit, to a nekuda of cheres, to be not to be a slave altogether, to stop and to say that avodim lepar mitzvah. I don't know what this is. How do we end up in such a thing like this? From people, everybody's from. So boom, 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 and now for the first. This guy and this guy thinks he's going to do the Mashiach comes also. They're going to have such a thing. And now, Mashiach's a kainu. You have to stop and say, this is crazy. Look, it's crazy. And at least if a person says that, like in Rabbi Nachum's story, you know, you look and you see it, at least it says the Meshuggah, you know, it's Meshuggah. So a person who's Be'emes Ben Chayrin, Adonai V'Meshabed is Guf, Le'yuchal Klal of Gar B'Cheirus HaRuach Shabbai. You can't come to that place inside of you. That side, if a person has emunah, and he still has some connection to that emunah, then it protests that part of himself that's free has to protest such a thing. And if it doesn't mean you have to get up and start screaming, but it means inside of your head you have to scream. You have to scream that this is not a Jewish simcha. This is something that we took from Golus. It's not a Jewish simcha. Where's the edelkeit? Where's the simcha, the joy that Jews used to be able to have to bring in a chasna kala? The joy, the simple pashtus of bringing in. And all of this is just an emptiness. And if they would stop all of the music, then you would hardly hear any one person singing. Everybody's just marching around. You wouldn't even hear a person singing because they make so much noise. No one sings. This is the pashtus of a simcha. So a person has to be a ben chayrin a little bit to hold on. Who you kar ben chayrin amiti? Nimsen l'meidim. She'ev shaklal l'dabra al avdus v'shibit k'shiyesh amun chazaka. What Rav Kook is teaching is the Chalban's explaining. That when there's emunah chazaka, when there's strong emunah, then bechlal, there's no inyan at all of avdus and shibud. There's no inyan of slavery and freedom. I mean that there's no such thing as a slave. Mikan naska v'noven. From here we could understand. She mitzrayim shibdu es Yisrael zemeid al kach she Yisrael loke b'emunah. We understand that if we were able to be enslaved, avadim ha'inu doesn't just mean that they were hitting us and making us work. It meant that there was something inside of us that was missing in our emunah because. If the emunah is strong, then there's no such thing as a shibud. And even if you're working, and even if they're yelling at you, and they're beating you, and they're killing you, you're still a ben chayrin. So if the Torah says Eidus, that we were avadim, it meant that the emunah was weak. Ad she'etzlichu mitzrayim l'shabed es rucham l'hachlishon. To the point that the Egyptians were able to be mishabed l'shabed es rucham l'hachlishon, to cause the chalishas haruach. To lose hope and to forget who a person is. This is what the Germans, Yamach Shimon, this is what the Ike Esek that they were involved in. It was not with the physical torture and the killing. That was the Makiba Patish. But the Chochmah of those Rishoyim was how to break the spirit of a Jew, how to be Meshabed a Jew, how to crush him and to sap him of his Koichis and Amun and so on. That he becomes an eved. Once he's an eved already, then you could take an eved like that and put him into the gas chamber, and he's not going to fight. The Mitzrayim lo rak haguf hayavavaydis parah. In Mitzrayim, it's not only that the body was put to work. Ela haneshama ishtabda leklipas Mitzrayim. The neshama was meshubah to the klip of Mitzrayim. The klipa of Mitzrayim is a very thick shell. It's a very thick tumah Mitzrayim. It's the sherish of all the gullies, of all exiles. It's a very thick, it has in it all future exiles. It's a very thick klipa. And it's a klipa that sits in the highest place and it's able to take mamash the chiyas from a person. And the deeper meaning of this is, you know, it was a little bit into Nista, but some things we spoke about over the years. I'll just say it quickly and try it simple. Shesoid hadas uba meitzar hagarim. Now, the little Mitzrayim comes from the word meitzar. Meitzar means a narrow place. Min ha-meitzar karasi ko. Soid hadas, the soid of das, is that there be a flow and movement from the mind, and it flow through the neck, the throat, into the heart, and then eventually to all the extremities of the person who's filled with emunah. The das, da es alakei avicha, knowing God, is when the knowledge is able to flow freely through the neck, into the heart, and throughout the body. Mitzrayim is a very strong klipa, b'meitza hagaron, it interrupts, b'meitza hagaron. In the narrowness of the neck, there's an expansiveness in the mind, and there's an expansiveness by the heart, and then there's that part in between that's narrow. Right? In Kabbalah, this is an inyan of Meitza Agaron, which is Mitzrayim, tight, narrow, small. Shu koyach hachibur ben hamarach l'alev, the neck, the throat, connects the elyoin of the person, the higher part of the person, and the tachtonim, the lower part of the person. U'mitzrayim yonku z'ashefa sham. And the Mitzrayim goes into that. That place is Mitzrayim's headquarters. That's where it focuses. Nitku ben hagimel rishaynus, or ben havav ktsavus, to make a separation between the higher kaiches of Chochma, Bina, and Das, to make a separation between the higher kaiches of who the person is and the lower kaiches of who the person is. To make a separation between the higher part of the person and the lower part of the person. So Mitzrayim will allow you to understand something, to think about something, but will not allow you to experience it, to feel it, and to really, really integrate it into who you are. The nimsu avav ktsavus shehin yisrael ba'isa hadar al zuvim bli or hagimel rishaynus. It's a terrible situation when the lower part of the person is separated from the higher part of the person. That's what Am Yisrael was living in Mitzrayim. So we were going through, we were slaves. But there was the Das, we were cut off from the Das of Kedusha. We were cut off from our own deeper understanding of who we are. And therefore we became unfaithful to ourselves. Forget about Hashem for a second. We became unfaithful to ourselves. We lived in a lower way, And we were not connecting to the higher way and who we are, the pnimis of who we are. Shu or ha'emuna v'adas v'asagas alakus, which is the light of emuna and understanding and asagas alakus and being masig alakus. U'memela, the result of that was is how you meshubadim in the shmasma mitzvahim. So we were meshubit. We meshubed, but any shibud that a Jew is in is this type of a shibud. It's the loss of that nemonis to the higher part of who he is. That's all the shibudim are like that. Not like that. Every shibud is that. Just a different madrigas, but that every shibud is that. Every slavery is that. V'av shahayu goliyas cautiously Yisrael behamshech. And even though later on in history we would have difficult goliaths, we'd have difficult experiences with our enemies, but lo'olam lo'haya shibud kosher kamo b'Mitzrayim, but not like Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the ovi ovis. Dami Nezer says that, you see, Shem Shmuel brings from his father that Mitzrayim, they didn't have rain. I mean, it rained every now and then, but the fertile world of Mitzrayim, which is unbelievably fertile, was not nourished or nurtured by rain. It was from the Nile, from the river. The whole parnosa of Mitzrayim was from the river. Avner Nezer says, and Chazal make a very strong point of this, that the whole unique of Mitzrayim was from this world. Geshem is something that comes from above to below. and rain. And the geshem that comes from above to below makes a kesher, a chibur, where a person is able to feel that it's not me, it's him. And there needs to be a chibur, there needs to be a kesher from below to above. So the fact that Mitzrayim's entire yanik is from the Nilus, from the Tachtainim, is a simon of the thickness of that klipa. Mi Hashem Hashem v'koyla. Mi Hashem Hashem v'koyla. Where, who, what? There wasn't even rain in Mitzrayim. There was no inyan of Geshem. It could be a rain once in a while, but it means that there was a kfir in the whole inyan of there being a chibur from above to below. Shoyis on the Shema Kfufa Tachz Netla Klipa HaKoshet, and the Shema of Am Yisrael was being crushed under that thick klipa. Actually, how you miss Yachadim Lias Avodim Hashem. So we couldn't focus. We couldn't come to that place of crossing over from below to above, from the lower part of ourselves to the Das, to be Avdei Hashem. El Avodim La'adineim L'melech Mitzrayim. We were avodim to Melech Mitzrayim. Hu Asher Azoy Melamed Yisonu, and this is what the Zohar Kodesh teaches us. Sheikir Habaya Eitzel Yisrael, Hayi Besoid Hamuna. The main problem in Mitzrayim is Emuna. Das the Kedusha, which is Emuna. Shlo Yodu Was Hashem. Nim Kelevavim Betoykef Emun Hativis. That there was something blocking the natural faith. It was not reaching the extremities of our lives. And we were not faithful to who we really, really are. We just were not. To the natural emuna. Ze atzmei mamish inin hashibut, k'may shamanu. Ze atzmei mamish inin hashibut, k'may shamanu. That's mamish the shibut that we're talking about. Because ein hashibud chal el haruach v'neshama. Shibud is something which really can only truly be chal, can only truly take effect when it reaches the neshama. That's what we're learning. When it reaches the ruach and the neshama of the person, that's when it really, really takes effect. Otherwise, as far as forcing a person to work and to do this and to schlep and to carry and to all of that, that doesn't mean, as we learned, that person could still be a big ben chayrin. But the person that's forcing him to work is an Eved, and the one that's doing the work is a Ben Charen. The whole thing is not the way it looks. Because you have the Eved that's beating up the real one. The Eved is the one that's beating up the Ben Charen and screaming at him to pick this up and to do that. The one who's picking it up is Be'etzim Ben Charen. Even though right now he has no choice, because Hashem told him to live. So he has no choice. He's not supposed to get killed because he doesn't lift up the rack. And the one who's telling him what to do, He is Be'etzim an Eved. And that's what it says in Pasuk, Eved ki yimloich. Eved ki yimloich. That there's such a thing, that an Eved becomes a king. You see that they have in America, that there's such a thing that the President of the United States could be meshubah to the lowest, most disgusting things. Eved ki yimloich. That's what it means, Eved ki yimloich. How could that be? Eved ki yimloich. That the Eved is holding a position of Malchus. He's officially in a position of Malchus, but Be'etzim, he's an Eved. And then you have the other way, that you could have a Ben Chayrin, that he's Be'etzim, he's a Ben Chayrin, and he's in a terrible, terrible place of Avdus and of Shiflus. And the moment that that person actually believes that he Be'etzim is an Eved, and he was Be'etzim, a Shofel, a worthless, low person, so at that point, Chalila, he becomes an Eved. That's when he becomes an Eved. And that Abdus could even be to things that look like they're nice, things that are in Ruchnius. It doesn't have to be like a disgusting, terrible thing. Somebody asks you to do a taiva. Ask you to do a favor. and you go to do the favor. You want to, either you want to do the favor or you're uncomfortable not to do the favor, but you go to do the favor. But the whole time that you're doing the taiva, you're not happy about being in that matzav. You're not happy. You feel that this taiva that you're doing is being mishabed you to something and taking you away from what you should be doing. So you might be doing somebody a taiva. Somebody from the family asked you, could you help me with this? Could you come? Could you babysit for me? Sure, I'll come babysit. It always sounds like it's a nice thing. Sure, babysit. Why not? I love the children. But then when you get there, so then it's Avodah Mo'ayin L'Paro Mitzrayim. But it's not one paro. It could be a whole bunch of parolech over there. Avodah Mo'ayin L'Paro Mitzrayim. And the whole time you're there, you could be sitting and you're upset because you brought a sefer with you. Because you wanted to babysit with the sefer. It's a chokhmah. So you brought, now it could be that you brought two svarim with you. You're going to look things up while you're babysitting. And then you come to the house and you say to whoever asked you to babysit, you say, oh, I thought they were sleeping. No, we didn't get a chance. We were running late. We have to get to the house now. Oh, not sleeping. No, but they're really going to love having you, you know, tell some stories and hang out with them a little bit. And you brought your svarim, or it could be that you brought lahavdil some work you had to do for school, for college or something. You have to write a paper, and you thought you could have, maybe it'll be even better than being home. You have 3-4 hours to be quiet, the kids are all sleeping, and they're all up. Or even if you come and they're all sleeping, and you're all excited, Pashas Vayikra, Shnai Mikra Echad Targum, you're a little bit behind, you open the Chumash, then you hear, Kol Hatzoin. You hear something going on over there. So you first said, nah, that must be next door. Couldn't be over here. It's not my not my grandkid, not my niece or nephew. Something else. No, it's your achrayus. So you go and you tell the kid, your mother told me you were sleeping. He says, well, I'm not. I'm up, and not only that, you might as well close your safe for the next 2 hours. You're not doing anything. Because I'm now taking over your life for the next couple of hours. 14 drinks, a couple of other things, diapers, whatever it is. You name it. I'm here to take away your learning time. I'm here to take away your freedom. You have mothers that feel like that all the years that they're raising their children, like these kids, they just got in my way. So they tried to hire a whole staff of people. And the husbands have to have 5 jobs because she doesn't want to raise her children. Is there a bigger avdus than that? To who? You're an evet to who? You're an evet to children? You're an evet to, you know what? That person with this farm, he was an evet to himself, to his rutzen to learn. Even though at that time the Baruch Shalom wanted him to just close the safe and to pay attention to the children and to be happy with the mitzvah that he's doing. Instead he becomes all twisted and confused. Oy vey, I'm an avid. I didn't really want to do this. I thought I was just going to... I wanted to do a toive, but I didn't mean, you know, to actually tell a story to the kids and spend time with the kids and to be happy and to play. No, I wanted to do what I want to do. I also wanted to be a nice person and to help. And it turned out that it didn't work out, and the person's angry. Angry at who? How could they have asked me to babysit? You had b'chiru. This is also an avdus. The different madrigas of avdus. Shibudim. A person loses that emunah, that this is the metzias that the Bar Elam is putting me in now. To be besimcha in this mitzvah that I'm in, and to give my heart over to the mitzvah that Hashem's Baruch is putting me in right now, to be happy with what I'm doing right now. A person's at work, he's always thinking about what it would be like not to be at work, and a person's not working, what would it be like to work? There's always shibudim. This is a pagam in amunah. It's a pagam in amunah. This is the klipa of Mitzrayim. It's a very strong klipa. And That's what the Zohar teaches. The Egyptians were not the ones who were moiled the Shibud. They were henchmen. They were henchmen. They were working. But they're Egyptians. When there's a pagam in Amunah, but there's nefila in Amunah, Reb Nachman says this throughout Lukut HaMaran. So that nefila in Amunah is what gives birth to a state of Shibud. Because if you be'etzim would be a mammon, there's nothing in the world that could be mishabed you. There's nothing in the world that could force you to act in a way that's out of character, that you find yourself saying words like, I'm sorry, that wasn't me. That's one of the funniest, strangest sentences that a person says in his life. That wasn't me. Looked like you. Had your social security number, your fingerprints, it wasn't me. It was you. It was an evid of you. It was an evid version of you. But it was you. When a person be'emes, if he's a mamin, then he's eif shaklal l'shtabel adam. Nobody is meshabed you. That's what I was talking to you about the other day with in this chabur with the cell phones and all the machines. Someone's meshabed you. Someone, just because it lights up on your thing that you got an email. So who's meshabed you? Who's a mishabed? Came onto the thing on the screen. It says this and this. So you're in the middle of learning. When you're in the middle of eating. You're in the middle of talking to your husband, to your wife, to your kids. You're in the middle of resting. You're in the middle of relaxing, just resting. You see some light coming over there, and you have to go to see what's doing over here. It's a shibud, an unbelievable shibud. What happened to Yamuna? Why do you have to go look there? Why? It could be something like this, an emergency or something. All these dibum that people say, what kind of an emergency is it? It's done. More havel havolim. And you can't even give yourself to be able to relax a little bit. The people when they go to eat nowadays, they go to eat and they put out on the table together with their ketchup and the coleslaw. They have an iPad and an iPhone and a smartphone and an Android and the cell phone and the whatever MPs and all these different things. They sit down. They could clearly make a mistake and put something in their mouth they can't even eat like a human being. It's not a shibud. What kind of, it's a very, very strong shibud. If you had emuna chazaka, you would say to yourself like this. The Baruch Shalom gives a person, he made us in such a way, he wants us to eat. That's what he wants. At times he says not to eat, but usually he says to eat. It's not a tannis, he says to eat. So he made today that I should eat. And not only that, but he said that when a person eats, he should try to eat with Yishev HaDas, and to eat in a way that's dignity, not to rush, but to eat in a normal way, like a mensch, to have kavana, whatever it says in the Svarim, the lower madrigas, higher madrigas, or kavanas the person can have to eat. No. Can't even sit down to have a regular meal. He doesn't believe that that's the Ratzon Hashem for that moment, that he should just be relaxed, not to be able. He has to be nervous if this is going, if that's going, this one's that, all different things that are going on. And to have all kinds of machshavas about it, I didn't do it work, and I have to do it work. Not to be able to eat. Machalosam, on Meshlam, hey, Machalosam she Yisrael haisa pegam he'amun. The sickness that we were suffering from over there in Mitzrayim. The sickness was a pagam in Amunah. Vim ken gamru for osam tzrich alias betikun Amunah. Therefore, the refuah, the cure has to be with Amunah. Missing Amunah, so you need to replenish your Amunah. Hine re'inu b'moshel she'tchilas is chaskusay shel ben ha'melech ha'isa b'kasher. What's lechel mashu? The moshel that he was talking about before is a famous moshel from Chazal, from Zohar Kodesh. But when the ben melech, when the prince was very, very sick, so he has no appetite at all. The simon that he's starting to get better is if he has a little bit of an appetite, right? That's how it is. If he starts to have a little bit of an appetite. Over nimshal etzi yisrael his oiret simon lelakus. So in Mitzrayim, we began to have just a little bit of an appetite for God. A little bit started an appetite. Some thirst. At least I'm thirsty. For God forbid a person is so sick, he's not thirsty, he's not hungry, he can't put anything to his mouth. That's the most horrible thing. When you talk to a person who, God forbid, is very sick, you say, have at least, just have a little bit something. Eat, have a little bit of soup. No. So, there was a little bit of an appetite, a little bit of a thirst, a little bit of a hunger. The debate is Baruch Baruch Shemai. To connect again to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kishaho Yisrael b'Mitzrayim, hoysen nishmosam kufa tachas nevah klipas Mitzrayim, v'lachein lo yisoyra behem tzimon l'dvekes l'kuz, as long as we are held strong under the klipa, very, very tight under the klipa, we didn't have any appetite for God. Everybody here has felt that at times in life, and we see that in others. There's no appetite, I mean, even by people that are davening, there's no appetite for God. There's no appetite. It means that there's such a sickness of lack of emunah, there's such a problem with the emunah that they have no appetite to daven. No appetite at all to daven. I was talking to a mechanech yesterday, and he said, he teaches in a very chashuv yeshiva, very well-known yeshiva, not in this area. He teaches in a very chashuv yeshiva. And there's a boy, there's a 11th grade, and he's telling me that there's a boy that he's just not learning. He's not learning. And the Rebbe is a really nice guy, and the Rebbe's trying to talk to him. Not in front of everybody, he was talking to him. And he was asking what's going on. And the boy said, look, this is what he told me. The boy said to him, look, Rebbe, I don't know if you're going to look at me in a bad way, but I feel like I need to be honest. This 11th grade boy said, I don't believe in anything. Like, I don't believe in any of this stuff. You tell me I have to sit here with my finger on the place. I don't believe in any of this stuff. Like, I'm not interested. So he said, what do you mean? I'm sorry. I don't believe in any of this stuff. So the Rebbe was so thrown off by that. He was expecting the usual thing, like, you know, I'm not getting enough. I'll try to get more sleep. I'll try to concentrate or whatever, regular stuff. The kid just said, right out. He says, Rebbe, I don't believe in anything. So you don't believe in the Gemara and Torah Shabbat. I don't believe in Torah Shabbat Pet, I don't believe in Torah Shabbat Chassav, I don't believe in Hashem, I don't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going this. I don't believe in anything. So the kid told him, an 11th grader. You would look at him, he dresses totally like a Ben Tyre. So what do we expect of the children? They should have an appetite for Torah, they should have an appetite for davening. You stand over like in Mitzrayim, you give them a clap, they should daven. Daven, daven! Boom, daven, give him a clap, daven. Okay, he doesn't have an appetite for daven. What's the sickness? Emunah. There's a lack of emunah. It's like a person that has a lack of sugar or a lack of salt or a lack of oxygen. It's a emunah. So instead, daven. It's okay. So he doesn't want to get touched, so he'll daven. He doesn't get in trouble, so stand there like everything is a daven. But the emunah. No appetite. There's no appetite for Avodas Hashem if a person's not a mammon. There's no appetite for Avodas Hashem. But the Gemara, people can do that because it's interesting. So a lot of people just like to learn because it's interesting. Whatever. But in terms of achias, dveikas, so they have no appetite. Because they're sick. And what's the sickness? Chaylas ahavan, emunah. So, unless we open up the world of emunah to ourselves and to our children, so then we remain slaves. And you know that kid is a slave to anything that comes around. He didn't discuss it. The Rebbe didn't tell me anything. I don't know. He didn't tell me anything what the kid is doing. But, you know, it's just a matter of time. Because there are other things that you have an appetite, that he has an appetite for. It's the love of the great boy. So he has an appetite for other stuff. He's a healthy boy. He doesn't have an appetite for lukus. Doesn't have an appetite for Torah and tefillah. Doesn't have an appetite for mitzvahs. A nice boy. The rabbi told me he's a very nice boy. And he goes around, he comes to davening in the morning. And he shackles. He just felt like, I guess he felt like he couldn't hold it in anymore. To the boy's credit. To the boy's credit. I mean, I hope to be meeting him in Mitzvah sometime next week. But to the boy's credit, he said he just couldn't hold it in. He said, Herbie, I gotta tell you, I can't do this like 5 hours a day, 6 hours a day. I just don't believe in any of this. I don't believe that the purpose of this. I don't believe what this is. I know what this is. You think he's the only kid in the class like that? It's not the only kid in the class. I'm going to tell him that there's a guy I know, his name is Benjamin Wolf. And this guy is the most inspiring person I know, and I want you to meet him. Is that okay, Benjamin? Okay. That's what I'm going to do. You gave me a good idea. I'm not joking. No, I know. I'm not joking. To be in the presence of people who are working on growing. And working, that is a very, very big thing. It's a very inspiring thing. See, people who are successful, chashuv, intelligent people, that they care, and they're trying, and they're working. It's a big thing. Etzem ha'yitzir mitzrayim, hitchilas ha'refuah. Etzem ha'yitzir mitzrayim, hitchilas ha'refuah. So the Baruch Shalom had a chamanis, we were slipping fast into oblivion. So Hashem Yisbrach took us out. That's the beginning of the refuah. And the Shmosim, Achela, Lotzeis began to leave the prison. That's even before he stepped out. Already before that, with the Makkos, we were already starting to get an appetite a little bit because Hashem was already pulling us out. Even though we were still living there, but he was pulling us out because the process began. Hashem already said, B'nivuchay Yisrael, Achadish Zalachem. You know, we were starting to get an appetite. Hashem was pulling us out. Levakish Kirvas Doida to seek the love of closeness to the one who loves us. Who Masha ben Hamelach Toiv Lechol Masha. Now the Ben Melach wants to eat something. Hamoshul Medaber al Machalim Shonim Benimshal Kol Machalim Alolah Hem Bichinis Shonis Ben Yoni Kaidish She'etzam Ateyovan Hetzimon LaHashem. The hunger, of course, is just a muscle for the hunger for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Machalim Hem Bichinis Shemaravai Simon Zeh. And the Machalim is only a muscle for that which can satisfy the hunger that a Jew has for God. And what we're going to finish the Maimon Mitzvah next Erev Shabbos is that the bread that Hashem gave us to eat, which is called the bread of Emunah, is matzah. And we're going to learn what's the inyan of why is it that we eat matzah on Pesach? What's the inyan of matzah? Matzah is when we start to get our appetite back. The Baruch Shalom says matzah. You have to eat matzah to bring the appetite back, and it's the first food that we can eat to make us stronger and stronger in Emunah. So Mitzvah will continue with that next Erev Shabbos.